Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Lots of people have expressed an interest in setting up their own website, but don't know how to go about it. So in this week's show, we're going to talk about what it takes to set up your own website and to give you some resources for learning more.
We'll talk with Mobeen Iqbal about which tools are most accessible with a screen reader and cover everything from finding a web hosting service to creating the actual content. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Mo.
Don't be afraid of breaking anything. Don't be afraid of getting your hands dirty, because the worst that can happen is that you enter wrong bits of information or you customize something the wrong way and pages don't load, so you just delete and start over. You know, don't be afraid of web hosting.
It's really hard to break computers. I mean, after all, there are just files, and whatever you did once, you can wipe it out and do it again. It may be a little extra work, but there's nothing really you can break. So don't be afraid, as Mo says, and just get in there, start experimenting, and read the documentation.
And hopefully after you listen to the rest of this show, you'll feel a lot more comfortable about getting started and be even less afraid.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
eSight, maker of digital eyewear designed to help improve vision for people with low vision and legal blindness. The technology can be used to read, see faces, and explore the world. More information is available at eSighteyewear.com.
And by
CrowdViz, an iPhone application that gives blind users the ability to receive visual assistance from a team of sighted individuals by connecting to them through a video stream. The app is available at the Apple App Store. Let's start by meeting Mo.
Well, Mo, you've been on Eyes on Success several times before, talking about the Vinix accessible Linux operating system and talking about the Raspberry Vi little handheld computer that one can program and make accessible and do all kinds of things with. But maybe you can remind our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do, where you're from.
Okay, well, my full name is Mobeen Iqbal. I'm 26 years old, and I live in a county called Lincolnshire, second biggest county in the UK. And as Pete was saying, I've been on the show in the past talking about various accessibility-related topics. My main field is in computer hardware, technical support, and training.
And you are visually impaired. You do this all without seeing.
I'm totally blind. I have light perception, but to be honest, it's grown weaker recently.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is how to create a website using tools that are accessible.
Today we wanted to talk about how people can set up their own websites, what's involved, where they can go, what resources. But maybe we can start a little bit by talking about, you know, what is a website?
Okay, a website is your personal space on the internet where you can post your own content, whether that's articles of interest that you're writing, or even whether it's photos of projects that you work on. For example, artists may want a website to post portfolios or samples of their content to promote themselves. And companies use websites to promote themselves and to promote the products that they offer.
And don't forget audio. We use our website to share the audio of this program.
Definitely. Without a website, a lot of people, well, everybody wouldn't be able to promote themselves as widely, because the internet is so integrated into everything now. You know, nearly every device that you come across seems to have some kind of internet access on it.
Now, lots of us are used to browsing the web, going to different websites and seeing what's out there. But, you know, you need your own website on a hosting provider's site in order to have your own website. Can you tell us a little bit about what a hosting provider does for you and what services it provides?
A hosting service is your special section of the internet where you can store all your files, your articles, and your images. And when a hosting service is providing you with the service, they need to provide you with space to upload your website. And then also you need to have some kind of software on that space to handle the website. Some people choose to write their own websites from scratch, some people who are very advanced programmers. But some people choose to use what's called a content management system or a website builder to access their own space and build their own website. You know, sometimes you have a step-by-step walkthrough that some hosting companies offer. I guess it's like buying a house in a way, you know, on a certain street. You know, you buy a house and you have your own address, and then, you know, you can go and live there. So your website is effectively living in that personal space, and you can customize it how you want and build on it.
Can you explain what a domain name is and what that's used for?
A domain name is just another term for your own personal address on the internet.
So as you say, the website name or the domain is really just an address. That gives you no idea of where this website actually is. It's actually your web hosting service that is managing and maintaining the content. So for example, the website hosting service we use for Eyes on Success is a company called 1&1, and they have a bunch of servers someplace, who knows where, maybe all over the place. And on one of their servers, they have some information that says, this is the Eyes on Success website. And we buy the domain name from the domain name services that rents them out, and we pay an annual fee for that, and it points to this particular server on the 1&1 hosting service.
That's right. Once you've decided that there are domain comparison websites, for example, one we tend to use in the UK is easily.co.uk. If you wanted a website, for example, called raspberrypi.net, I wouldn't recommend that, but if you did, you'd go in there and type in raspberrypi.net, and then it would tell you raspberrypi.org.uk is not available, but these are the options that are. So you can use it as a comparison tool, and you can type in what you want your domain name to be called, and then the options will pop up, and you can see which one the cheapest is, and then hopefully go for that.
And you'll often see that if a domain name is available, they tend to be pretty inexpensive, maybe about $10 per year if it's not something really special.
Exactly.
Okay, so somebody trying to set up his or her first website knows he or she needs a web hosting service. How would he or she go about finding one?
In terms of when you're looking for a hosting provider, there are both free and paid offerings. One offering which I sometimes recommend to people just for getting started on is a company called 000webhost.com. And if you go there and sign up with them, they will give you your chosen word or your chosen name, .000webhost.com. I think they have a choice of endings you can have, but that's what's called a subdomain. So although, you know, your name is attached to this free service, you still get your own presence on the internet. And then if you want to upgrade to a paid plan and get a more unique name for yourself, you can upgrade at a later stage.
So just to clarify, those three zeros, they're actually the digit zero. They're not spelled out Z-E-R-O.
Exactly. They're the digit zeros.
When you're selecting a web hosting service, what criterion should people look for?
When you're looking for a website host, read through the specifications. A lot of them are pretty standard these days. So watch out for things like the amount of space the web host offers. I'd recommend a minimum of 1 GB for a standard website if you're not hosting many files. Bandwidth per month. Now, this is, how would you describe bandwidth per month? A bunch of visitors coming to the website and then it being bogged down, or?
I would define bandwidth as how much information and data people are downloading from your site. So if you have a lot of pictures and videos on your site, people are downloading that, that uses up a lot of bandwidth. If you just have text, that isn't a lot of bandwidth. So depending on what your content is, you might want to opt for a plan with more or less bandwidth, because the more bandwidth and the more space, you pay more for some of those options.
Well, in general, bandwidth means how much information or how much data is flowing per unit time.
Exactly. And the majority of website providers now offer anything from, say, 30 GB all the way up to 100 GB. And, you know, for the average website where you're not hosting a lot of images or a lot of files, those figures are adequate. 000 offer 100 GB as standard.
And what other services or things should people look for when they're trying to select a web hosting service?
A lot of providers will offer you at least one or two mailboxes for free, and they will have their own storage. They will provide you with your own email address so you can log in and access your emails using an email client such as Microsoft Outlook or Thunderbird or even via the web. And it's your own personal email box on the internet where people can contact you.
Another service that many of the hosting services offer is the ability to have FTP accounts. And this enables you to share larger files or sets of data easily with people. They can log into an FTP server, download files and folders there, and vice versa.
And for those who don't know, FTP stands for File Transfer Protocol.
Yeah, and it's also used to copy files to the website. For example, if you're using a website builder, they may say, okay, if you want your logo, please use what's called an FTP client, which you can download a lot of free ones for Windows, Mac, Linux, whatever your operating system is. And then you can use that. It works similar to my computer, so when you're copying and pasting files back and forth, you can copy and paste files back and forth to the internet, to your own personal space. So you can have your own logos, your own music, your own videos stored in your own space accessed via FTP, so File Transfer Protocol.
And that's how we manage a lot of the content on our Eyes on Success site, through an FTP system. So there's a couple of ways we do that. One way we do it is from Windows Explorer. You can actually map a network drive to this remote FTP site that is the file structure of your website and easily copy things back and forth seamlessly through a Windows Explorer interface. But the other one I find more useful and actually works a little bit better is a FileZilla program, which you can find on the internet and is free and enables you to copy files back and forth in a seamless fashion.
Yeah, and another one which has a very, very simple interface, even more basic than FileZilla, but it doesn't scrimp on performance in any way, is WinSCP. So S for secure, C for copy, P for protocol.
What other services can you get from some of these web hosting providers?
You may also come across a term called databases. Now, a database is used by many content management platforms to store information about your website. So everything that happens behind the scenes, the user doesn't see anything that's stored there. It's just used to store and handle requests to your website. So when somebody comes along and accesses it, the database says, okay, hey, they want to go to the podcasts page, and it sends them there. And 000 offer two SQL databases free of charge on their free plan, which is more than adequate, again, for the average use, because every website tends to use at least one, unless, of course, you know, it's a very basic site or you're just building it yourself and you don't want to use a database in the background, in which case you wouldn't need any. But it's recommended to have at least one on your plan.
So just to recap then, when you're looking for a hosting service on which to put your website and design your website, we should look for things like how much space they provide, how much bandwidth they provide, how many mail accounts they provide, and what kind of FTP and other resources they provide. And the other thing we talked about is that some of these services offer some what you called content management systems, which enable you to sort of put together a website very easily without knowing any programming.
Yeah, I mean, content management systems, while we're on that subject, website hosting providers offer them in terms of what they call one-click installs. Now, a one-click install is a service offered by the provider, which when you log into your account, you tell them, you say, okay, to build my website, I want to use something called Drupal or WordPress, or I want to build it on my own, etc. If you pick a pre-built package, for example, like Drupal or WordPress, they will install that for you in a matter of minutes. And then when you go to your website address, a setup page pops up and it says, okay, please, you know, enter the following details to carry on setting up your website. So you enter your website name, your email address, and your own personal information and go that way. So one-click installs is something that people should definitely be looking out for. Unless, of course, you're building your own website from scratch. I know some people are very advanced like that and they will be programming their own from scratch.
So at this point, one's visual acuity comes into play. everything up until we started talking about building the website itself, as long as you've got sufficient magnification or a screen reader or whatever adaptive technology you use, that applies to people with and without print impairments. But at this point, when you're creating the content, now you want your content to be accessible. And you want the package that you're using to create the content to be accessible. Can you share some thoughts on that issue?
Definitely. The website content management systems that hosts tend to offer aren't really very accessible. They tend to market them more towards people who are sighted. So if you see, for example, somebody offering you a free website builder, that might look good on paper, but when you actually access it, it's very, very visual. So they'll have simple text boxes for you to enter content and click and drag options for creating pages. A lot of people in the visually impaired community tend to use one of two content management platforms. There are more, but the two main ones are Drupal or WordPress. Now, both of these content management systems are very accessible to screen reader users. And WordPress originally was actually designed as what's called a blogging platform. So they launched their own service initially where people could host their own articles they were writing or just post their thoughts on the internet. And then it expanded to allow you to build your own website. So just to make people aware, if you do go for the WordPress option, by default, when they install and activate WordPress for you and you enter all your information and you log into the WordPress control panel, your website will be set up like a blog. It requires more customization from the word go to actually get it looking like a standard website would. The difference being that with a blog, your content will be arranged on the page in categories and subcategories with tags in relation to the content that you're posting. So it's not like an average website. On a normal website, for example, you would have home, about, contact us, etc. So a slight amount of customization is required for WordPress. Would you guys be inclined to agree with that, seeing as you use it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, on our Eyes on Success website, we use sort of a combination. We programmed up our main website and several of our other web pages in HTML. Of course, we're pretty comfortable writing HTML, and you can find out lots about that on the web and get lots of examples. But to host the podcast, the one-on-one hosting service we use has a one-click installation of WordPress, and automatically WordPress was on there. We didn't have to do a whole lot, and then we just had to customize it for the podcast. And so if you go to any of our podcasts, and you'll see the show summaries and links to the audio and show notes, that's all done through WordPress. And I found that WordPress is a very accessible system, pretty easy to use, lots of good instructions, and if you get lost, you just Google for some help and you can easily find a lot of help.
Yeah, and the other system which I've designed many websites on to date is something called Drupal. Now, Drupal, they handhold you a lot through the install process. It's kind of a use case scenario. I mean, some people prefer WordPress and some people prefer Drupal. Drupal has help in real time. So as soon as you've filled in all your information and you log in, they're very descriptive as you go along. So for example, if you go to the content section, you can add and remove pages. They've got helpful hints to guide you along the way. It's got a huge community on Google. So if you can't immediately find out where something is, you Google it and there it is. And also with Drupal, the website initially is set up in a simple page view, so you can add and remove pages and get a basic website online in a matter of hours. They have functionality built in for contact forms, so you can make your own contact forms. This is all fully accessible. And editing a page is a simple question of going to the page, and then as soon as you go to that page and you're logged in, there's an edit option. And you press enter on edit, and it brings up which text editor. That might sound daunting, but it isn't, because you can literally paste content from Microsoft Word, and Drupal automatically converts that for you into internet content. So you could put all your headings in and type the whole page in Microsoft Word and type this big long page. You could select all and copy and paste it across, and all your formatting would be handled.
For people who are new to all this, are there places where they can go for help besides just Googling things?
If you get stuck, there are help links, and they also have a very good handbook for Drupal as well as entire courses dedicated to Drupal, and also for WordPress as well. There's a lot of videos on YouTube and a lot of courses as well. I would certainly recommend having a look at both options to compare them side by side. And with a free web host, you can uninstall and reinstall as many times as you like. So they just won't care about stuff like that.
So that's the other thing to point out. You really can't break a computer. If something goes wrong, you just uninstall your program, reinstall it, start from scratch, and you only lost the time that you invested.
Exactly, and it's a really good place to start if you're looking at building your own website, but you don't want to code from scratch. I mean, Drupal is built on the PHP programming language, so the huge advantage you have with Drupal, and I suppose with WordPress as well, is that you can just steal somebody else's code off the internet. Steal is a bit of a strong term, but if people post their code examples, let's say, for example, you wanted to display the time and date in real time on your website, you could go to a free PHP scripts website, copy the code and paste it into Drupal using the PHP paste options in Drupal itself, and that would automatically process everything for you and just convert that code into something readable. The whole point of using a content management system is so you're not doing any of the heavy lifting.
Now we're talking about actually creating content, and in the process of this conversation, we've been talking about whether this commercial website is more or less accessible than the next. There's no way in the amount of time available on today's episode that we could describe what's involved in making a website accessible, but can you guide people to a place where they could learn what's required to make a website accessible?
Sure. Doing a search on Google for themes, so you type in accessible themes for WordPress or accessible themes for Drupal, the theme is the part of the system that is responsible for how your website looks. You can change the whole look of your website in a couple of clicks. And some themes are built by the people who write the themes to be accessible. A theme is a collection of colors and code to try and present your website content in a certain way. So some themes are suited to blogs, so they'll be very brightly colored, say, for promoting photography, or you could have a standard black and white theme for a charity, or it could be anything, really. And you can try as many themes as you want until you find some that are accessible. I mean, for example, for Drupal, there's a company called More Than Just Themes, very original name, who provide themes that are very accessible to screen readers. It's too much to go into now, but themes can be split down into headings, regions, landmarks, etc. for screen reader use, and some people use those to navigate. A lot of people just tend to use headings. The majority of themes out there are usable and accessible by screen readers, but it all depends on what visual look you want your website to have.
And we should point out that the theme is independent of the content. So you can design your content to say what you want and to have the information you want on your page, and then just quickly change the theme so that the website looks different to people viewing the screen or using a screen reader.
Exactly.
So we covered a lot of questions that people might ask. Is there anything that we missed?
Drupal and WordPress, they also offer other modules. For example, you can build your own forums. You can make a forum website if you want, so people can come on there and discuss about various topics of interest. You could have your own polls, so you could have them vote on which Eyes on Success podcast is the best one to date. You could also have extended forms for creating surveys and things. And again, everything that I've ever tried within Drupal has been accessible so far. I've not found any pitfalls.
Using the edit function in some of these applications can be a nice way of actually learning HTML and PHP and seeing how these web pages are made with the coding underneath it. And as we also mentioned, you know, Google should be your friend. A lot of this information is easily available on the net with lots of examples, sample code, and nice descriptions of how to use the more sophisticated elements of HTML and other coding languages on your site.
You can find complete tutorials on how to do pretty much anything in any of these languages.
Exactly. I mean, I think there are even audiobooks on Audible, you know, how to learn MySQL, how to learn PHP, and you can bring everything around on an MP3 player these days, you know. To get into the advanced programming of a website is always something worth looking at once you're comfortable with the basics, because then you can customize so much more.
Now, Now for this week's final item, how to get more information directly from Mo and how to find the resources we've all been talking about in the rest of this episode.
So if people have any further questions, can they contact you?
Sure. You can email me directly and I'm more than willing to offer assistance and help people in getting started. So my email address is Mobeen, M-O-B-E-E-N, at Iqbal, I-Q-B-A-L, dot M-E, dot U-K. And as I said, I will offer assistance for free. I'm happy to offer guidance. Or if you know of anybody that wants a website built, I'm sure we can negotiate.
So now you've been talking a lot about WordPress and Drupal. Can you give their websites as well?
Yes. So Drupal is at www.drupal.org. And WordPress is www.wordpress, spelled exactly how it sounds, .com. And WordPress do actually offer the option of hosting your website through the WordPress website. So, for example, they would give you a subdomain. So mine may be iqbal.wordpress.com. And you can use their service to host your own content on the internet. That's used mainly for if you're blogging. I'm not sure whether you can make it look like a personalized website with the freedom that you would have if you installed it on your own web space. But Drupal, they don't offer a hosting service. There are third parties that offer Drupal hosting and building websites for you. They tend to charge extra for actually building the website, customizing it based on how you want it to look. But Drupal is designed for you to actually go in there and build a website from scratch with guidance along the way.
But many web hosting services do offer WordPress installations and Drupal installations, so you can use them on their hosting services.
Yeah, and a lot of other software is offered as one-click installs as well. You often get access to shopping carts, forums, website statistic tools, and they're all very useful to play with. Don't be afraid of breaking anything. Don't be afraid of getting your hands dirty, because the worst that can happen is that you enter wrong bits of information or you customize something the wrong way and pages don't load, so you just delete and start over. You know, don't be afraid of web hosting.
And we talked about a lot of resources and tools and services that are available in this show. And as usual, we collect all of that information and we put them in the show notes associated with each episode. So it makes it very easy for people to find those links and resources. So just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net and look for the show notes for this episode.
That's it for show number 1547. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about accessible comic books. If you thought comic books were only for sighted people, think again. We'll speak with Guy Hassan about the online comic book store for the blind that he started called Comics Empower. Learn how you can enjoy a variety of comic books in audio format, including Aurora, a sci-fi adventure series with a blind hero. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.